the inside is right. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hey, welcome everyone. God bless you for tuning into The Winds of Change. Father Tom Coy's here on a brain-wrinkling Friday afternoon. We're listening live on the podcast, whatever day it is. But it is Father Coy's, and I need to wrinkle your brain a little bit again. I introduced a character that I'm sure many of you know about a couple of days ago on one of my shows, and I got to continue with that, go into a deeper dive into Henry David Thoreau. He's a very famous early American author, right? And he's part of that group of philosophers, naturalists, known as the Transcendentalists.
Now he I am the gift. Approaches,
indeed. He approaches what Catholic theology speaks about when we speak about the Transcendentals, but he doesn't get there. He misses the mark a bit, I'm going to have to say, and I'm going to have to explain why. He's attractive to so many because he's pointing in the right direction. I hope by sharing some of his thoughts and an appreciation of the goodness that he gave us in his appreciation of nature, we will also find some holes or some missing parts. Doesn't go quite high enough or wide enough or deep enough, something, whatever adjective you want to use, there's something missing. And that which is missing in someone like Henry David Thoreau and many people who sing the great praises of nature. Ken Burns had a wonderful documentary, as he often does, on the national parks of the United States. I think he called it the America's Greatest Idea. Well, it was a great one, but if it's the greatest idea, we need some better ideas, because nature alone doesn't give us all the answers. We think that we're tempted to think that it does, but it's very important to realize it doesn't. And I'm going to have to confess to you something right off the bat here. As I appreciate Henry David Thoreau's, especially his writings, I'm reading through Walden, that famous book of the 1800s, where he leaves the hustle and bustle of the big city of Boston, which is probably nothing compared to what it is now, of course. But at that time, it was the big city, the industrialized, crowded, dirty, industrialized city that it was, and he wanted to get away from it. He builds a little hut, a little house near a little pond called Walden, and he lives by himself, I don't know, 7, 8 years, maybe less, enough years for him to compare different winters and different summers and different seasons. But I know he didn't live there his whole life. And so I'll have to do a little more research to find out just how many years he lived there. He goes there and does what a lot of us kind of would love to do, fantasize about doing, and that is run away from the crazy rat race that we call life.
Wow. You just wrinkled my brain, man.
Yeah, it is a brain wrinkle. So, but here's what I got to confess right out the gate here, is that in contemplating David Thoreau's love for nature and his mistakes, or his immature philosophy, a philosophy that doesn't go far enough and deep enough, bring in some more of reality than the reality of the beauty of wilderness, natural area, location, whether it's Walden Pond outside of Boston, or Yellowstone Park, or the Grand Tetons of Wyoming. Gosh, I've always told people when they say, what do you think is the most beautiful place? I automatically say the Grand Teton Mountain Range, right outside Yellowstone Park. Beautiful, beautiful. And I got to confess, I did love Ken Burns' documentary on the national parks. And they sing the praises well. And it points out the great healing effect of nature, the great calming, the great teaching aspect of nature. That actually is something we definitely need today. It's a kind of a irony or a contradiction where someone would fall in love with nature. And when I use the word nature in this context, it is like mountains, trees, lakes, animals, buffaloes, elk, moose, all the rest. Many of those wildlife we like to see in a national park. Nature, in a philosophical sense, means much more than what you find at a national park or in any park. When we say the nature, we're saying the definition, the essence of everything. So anyways, but my confession here, I keep avoiding my confession. The reason I'm attracted, the way I'm attracted to David Thoreau, and I think most people are, is similar to the way I'm attracted to John Denver and John Denver songs. If you know a little bit about John Denver, if you grew up, if you know about the 70s and 80s, I'm surprised there's still a lot of John Denver fans. He did write beautiful music, and I loved learning how to play him and sing him, and some of his songs never get old for me, as it were. And so I'm drawn to a love for his music and his philosophy, his ideology. And yet there's something troubling about it. So you can appreciate someone or something in a very high-minded way and yet find some things troubling. Wouldn't that be even true of your dear loved ones?
Holy, here we go again, Batman.
There it is. The eternal return of the same. As one of my philosophy teachers used to say, to appreciate the eternal return of the same is to appreciate a sense of nature that is constant, that touches on things that are not, another philosophical word, ephemeral, not effeminate, but ephemeral, things that are passing. And of course, all the earth's beauty is ephemeral in that sense, right? And so it is. So let me share a beautiful, one of my favorite little snippets here from Henry David Thoreau's Walden, because he's singing the praises of morning. He's singing the praise. I touched on this a little bit, I think a couple weeks ago. And I want to read a little bit further on that. He likes mornings, and it encourages us to like mornings because most of us don't like mornings. Let's face it, mornings are hard, getting out of bed, all the rest we'd rather sleep in. But he's philosophizing about mornings. And he says this, excuse me, "We must learn to reawaken and keep ourselves awake, not by mechanical aids, but by an infinite expectation of the dawn, which does not forsake us in our soundest sleep." Isn't that neat? Of course, he's talking about an alarm clock. We awaken ourselves. Some people don't need an alarm clock if they're sort of life is regimented in such a routine that they just always wake up at the same time. I tend to think of that way. So I got to confess, I do need my alarm clock. But anyways, because sometimes you wake up at different times. But it's an infinite expectation of the dawn, which does not forsake us in our soundest sleep. Which is, in other words, it's a hope that breeds eternal, as we sometimes say, hope dashed is the definition of maybe sadness, anxiety, depression, but hope springing eternal is an expectation or an indication of a higher hope that is not dashed ever. And so a morning, he's saying, in a natural way, keeps you, in a certain sense, optimistic about life. But of course, then even at the end of life, we need a higher hope. Speaking of which, my friends, I would share a little personal note here. My mother, who a lot of my listeners know, has been very weak and feeble. She's 96 years old, and we had to bring her to the hospital just yesterday. Say a prayer for Mary Ann Coys, if you would, that God will keep her and open those great pearly gates. I've been praying for a long time that our Blessed Mother herself would appear to her and reach out her hands and say, "Come with me." It can happen. I know it happens, and it certainly can happen. And in my humble estimation, my mother deserves such a beautiful gift. So anyways, keep her in prayer. In the beautiful book Walden, Henry David Thoreau is singing the praises of mourning. He says this a little bit further. "I know of no more encouraging fact than the unquestionable ability of man to elevate his life by a conscious endeavor. It is something to be able to paint a particular picture or to carve a statue, and so to make a few objects beautiful, but it is far more glorious to carve and paint the very atmosphere and medium through which we look, which morally we can do." In other words, we look out at the world around us. If it's you're looking out your window in the morning, you're going to paint it with a sense of hope because goodness prevails over darkness and evil. So he says this, "I went to the woods because I wished to live deliberately, to front only the essential facts of life and see if I could not learn what it had to teach, and not, when I came to die, to discover that I had not lived." That's precious and that's beautiful. It's a part of what many Catholic saints have discovered when they take on the life of a monastery or like a hermit. It's what each of us, even if we don't follow that spiritual tract in life, we yearn for a time away. And of course, in a religious sense, I would use the word retreat. We yearn for a retreat. Us priests are supposed to take retreats and step out of our normal life to go to a retreat house. Oftentimes, retreat houses are in a beautiful spot, surrounded by lots of trees, nature, woods, water, etc. And yet, a distinction has to be made. Oh, yep, there. When you go to a good retreat, you see a window to the world that is more beautiful than the rest of the days of your life. And yet, there's an important distinction between what a Catholic church would call a retreat, either for a priest or religious or many lay people, obviously, go on retreats. As a matter of fact, in a few weeks, I'm going to head up to Wisconsin for a retreat with an amazing priest by the name of Father James Blunt. He's an incredible, incredible priest with a lot of gifts. Wonderful preacher, a healer, an exorcist. He says he has the gift of seeing angels and demons. It is said that he is bilocated. He's prayed over people and many cures have happened. God bless him. I yearn for his gifts, just a little portion of what God has poured on him. Anyways, but the word retreat, when we put it in the context of a Catholic situation, is different than many times of what you see in a secular world. Like I often will be at maybe a nice resort somewhere on vacation, and there will be the public school teachers union is having a retreat here. And I don't think that they're bringing in God too much, or big companies can say we're going to have a retreat, motivational talks and teamwork activities. And they're good. I'm not going to say they're bad in any way, but they're missing the higher elements of reality, of truth, of art, a deeper appreciation of what nature is, can be, should be, what it isn't, all the rest. That you need faith, that you need theology, that you need religion. And those of us who are religious know there would be a difference between going on a vacation and going on a retreat, a real religious retreat that challenges us with those higher values and realities that you don't think of. And a business organization, I'm sure many of you who belong to big companies have been on company retreats or so. They're primarily directed toward building teamwork and getting everyone excited about the goal and the purpose of the company they work for, a greater sense of ownership in the company. They don't really direct you into how to get to heaven or what are your ultimate beliefs in life, death, and resurrection, sin, whether sin might be leading you somewhere in the wrong direction, your relationships with family, friends, spouses, right? Anyways, okay, so I think it's time for our first break, right, Nick? Let's take a first break. And so I'll read a little bit more of Henry David Thoreau's Walden Pond. And there's a song by John Denver that I got to share with you that, again, it's this attractiveness of what we love about nature and a missing element. And I hope the missing, if I could help everyone feel and understand where there is something missing and where it can easily go wrong, you will pray more fervently, you will seek a higher a higher life. You will call upon, as people in AA often say, the higher power. We know it is Jesus Christ, and the three persons of the Blessed Trinity, and all the saints and angels put together, right? Okay, so let's take our next break here. I am Father Tom Coyes, guest host on The Winds of Change. You are listening to the EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland. We are WSFI 88.5 FM and WNDZ AM 750.
It is amazing to be living in a post-Roe v. Wade America, but our country racked up a body count of tens of millions under Roe. And still today, the body count continues to rise, and the vast majority of these babies never received a proper burial. That's what the 11th Annual National Day of Remembrance for Aborted Children is all about. On Saturday, September 9th, on this special day, the Pro-Life Action League visits the burial places of aborted children and other memorials put up in their honor. And we solemnly pray for God to heal the deep wounds of abortion in our society. To find your nearest day of remembrance service, visit prolifeactionleague.org and click on the tile that says National Day of Remembrance for Aborted Children 2023. The National Day of Remembrance for Aborted Children, Saturday, September 9th.
I'm Father Tom Coyes, and you are listening to The Winds of Change.
Sometimes it's tough to hear winds of change over the air. What with tall buildings, power lines, and other static. Now you can hear winds of change anywhere, anytime, or on any device. When Winds of Change is on the air Monday through Friday, noon to 1, go to ststandschurch.org. Scroll down to the Winds of Change tile and click on the Listen Live button, or visit Winds of Change Facebook page to see the Listen Live link.
Hey, I think that's my cue to come back here and start talking. God bless you. I'm sharing with you a love and a hate. Not hate is probably too strong of a word. A love and a lack of it's finding something wonderful, but realizing it's not the ultimate. And isn't that a key thing to making a search for God? If you know a little bit about Henry David Thoreau, you know, his book called Walden Pond is his, it's a sharing his every thought, simple and complex, about his time away from the big city of Boston, living in the wilderness and near a little pond called Walden Pond. And he reminds me of St. Francis of Assisi in many ways, and yet it's so important to be able to see the difference between St. Francis of Assisi and why he's a Catholic saint and why Henry David Thoreau is not. And that reminded me of a song that John Denver sings. He wrote this song in admiration or in appreciation of St. Francis of Assisi. I don't know how much he learned about the Catholic saints, John Denver, that is, but this is how this song goes. See if you can remember. See if you remember, know this one.
They told him I
Remember that one? It's a precious song. The Boy from the Country. And as I said, he wrote that song kind of in dedicated to St. Francis of Assisi. St. Francis of Assisi did often refer to the natural things around him in anthropomorphized terminology, brother sun and sister moon. He would call it sister death, or everything about nature he personified in that way, which is common in a lot of children's fairy tales, right? And that's John Denver is capturing that in that precious little song, though I think he's a little wrong in explaining that the reason the people drove St. Francis of Assisi out of town was just because he anthropomorphized nature. It's because St. Francis of Assisi had a way of making people feel guilty about their greed, neglect of the poor, and their neglect of God. And so it wasn't just because he called the earth his brother and earth his mother. You know, and I'm sure Pope Francis, in his environmentalism, would join me in my praise of John Denver here and or St. Francis of Assisi. And yet I hope people can see what's missing. And even Pope Francis's, shall we say, glorification of environmentalism, you're making a big mistake if you don't see the difference between a St. Francis of Assisi and a Henry David Thoreau, or John Denver, and a beautiful Catholic hymn that goes deeper and beyond. In other words, when we appreciate nature in God's eyes, with faith, with the eyes of faith, there's supernatural things as much as natural things. There's supernatural gifts that are higher than natural gifts and what have you. And so that sense of, yes, we must embrace and love Mother Nature, but if we're going to destroy our souls in the process, we end up being victims of what Jesus, our Lord himself, said, what good is it to gain the whole world and lose your soul in the process?
No!
Yeah. And that's what an indictment against a pure environmentalism, even from the voice of a church leader. I remember liking John Denver as a teenager, because you got to remember that he was singing in the 70s and the 80s when hard rock was on the top of the charts. And so liking John Denver, you were considered a nerd, or you were considered out of it because you weren't singing the praises of Led Zeppelin or Jimi Hendrix or the Beatles even. And a lot of those other artists were glorifying sexual freedom. John Denver didn't do that in his songs. So he had that reputation of being a good old boy, or a naive, good Christian man, even though songs weren't that Christian or what have you, but they did have that sense, and deservedly so. It's amazing that when people who write biographies of singers and stars, the musical stars, heroes, if you want to call them, they will often criticize John Denver because his songs were sweet and innocent sounding, but in his personal life he had problems. He went through, he was married three times and arrested for drunk driving, and that one phrase from his famous song, Rocky Mountain High, made everyone think he was, thinks he was promoting marijuana, and maybe he was in some way. I used to always defend him by saying, you know that song, Rocky Mountain High, that means you're high on life. You have a love and appreciation of life without artificial drugs. Boy, that's certainly needed today, isn't it? And so we can see where we need that, we need the spirit of what John Denver is singing about, what St. Francis of Assisi was saying, Henry David Thoreau was saying in his book Walden Pond. Let me share a little bit more of this precious little song. It's called Boy from the Country by John Denver. And we'll take another break and I'll share a little bit more from Walden Pond, because it's so crucial to, I guess I'm just gonna have to repeat what I think is at the essence of this here radio show, and to appreciate something very good, but don't leave out the higher good. Appreciate what is naturally good without neglecting the supernatural good, the higher good. It's when we lose the supernatural good and we turn natural goods into supernatural goods that we make ourselves our own gods. And that's the great sin of idolatry in so many of the stories of the Bible, right? Here's a little bit more of A Boy from the Country. He goes on, I guess. 'Cause he spoke. Precious, because he talked to the animals, because he spoke to the fish. He might have been confusing Saint Anthony with Saint Francis there, because the famous story about Saint Anthony, who was a disciple of Saint Francis of Assisi, Saint Anthony was banned from preaching and sent out of town, and he goes to the pond or the lake nearby and starts preaching, and the fish stick their heads up out of the water and start listening to Saint Anthony. Well, maybe Saint Francis did that too. It is precious that that you have such an appreciation for animals, and that's a good thing. It's a good thing, and maybe animals do communicate in different ways. However, raising your love for the animal life to such a high degree that you completely ignore human life. I know a lot of people who are great animal rights activists, but they're also committed pro-choice people, because they believe it's okay to take the life of the unborn, right? Not consistent there in their appreciation of nature. It's almost as if You're worried about what the child will do for you. The child will add problems to your life, where your dog or your fish or your flowers don't ruin your life. They just add a kind of a beauty to it and a joy. Like that saying sometimes goes, I forgot who said it first, but may your spouse love you as much as your dog does when you come home from work. dog will jump for joy when he sees someone coming home from work. And usually spouses don't do that much. Maybe a good lesson for you spouses out there. Wag your tail a little bit and clap and be happy when your spouse comes home. If husbands and wives appreciated that a little bit more, I think there'd be a lot less divorce out there, right? Anyways, okay, let's take our next break, and I'll continue with this little meditation. I got to bring in some of the sacraments, too, in order to appreciate what I'm saying. We can see how Catholicism and our unique understanding of sacraments fits what I'm trying to say here about the beauty of Walden and yet his mistakes or his errors, as it were. I'm Father Tom Coyes. You're listening to the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland. We are the Winds of Change. We are WSFI Catholic Radio, 88.5 FM. And we are also WNDZ AM 750.
St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, is open 24 hours a day, 7 days per week, for adoration of the Blessed Sacrament in the iconic monstrance. The Blessed Sacrament is reposed during the celebration of Mass and during special events. St. Stan's doors are always open for adoration. Come anytime, day or night. St. Stan's is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, right off the Kennedy. Visit ststanschurch.org.
We are the students of St. Stan's Kostka Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. Visit ststanschicago.org to find out how.
And you're listening to the Winds of Change.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is conveniently located 1 block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. Father Tom Coyes here on a brain wrinkling. Today's not Wednesday. Today's Friday if you're listening live. Or whatever day it is, if you're on the podcast, which is where most of us listen to stuff, podcasts. Hope you all know how to use podcasts, and there's so many. And of course, you can listen to them when you have the time, not necessarily when you're supposed to listen to them. Anyways, I want to share another little gem from Walden Pond, from Henry David Thoreau, and see how his disdain for the modern world, we'll call it that, is approaching Catholicism. I gotta say that he's touching on themes that Catholics like to shout from the rooftops, shall we say. But he's saying this, and he's meditating on how farmers will say prayers when they're out farming, or when they're praying for rain, or for praying for sun, good weather and all that. He says, it is not in vain that the farmer remembers and repeats the few Latin words which he has heard, like the grace before meals or blessings, men sometimes speak as if the study of the classics would at length make way for more modern and practical studies. But the adventurous student will always study classics in whatever language they may be written, and however ancient they may be. For what are the classics but the noblest recorded thoughts of man? They are the only oracles which are not decayed, and there are such answers to the most modern inquiry in them as Delphi and Dodona never gave.
Wow. You just wrinkled my brain, man.
He says, we might as well omit to study nature because she is old. To read well, that is, to read true books in a true spirit, is a noble exercise, and one that will task the reader more than any exercise which the customs of the day esteem. There's a beautiful sentiment by one of my other favorite Catholic writers, G.K. Chesterton, who speaks of Catholicism is the only institution that he knows of, and I believe him, the only institution around that saves us from being slaves of the present styles, the passing things that are trumpeted, the passing things that are popular now and not popular 10 years from now. I can't help but sometimes I have to confess to my friends that, yes, I indeed in my youth wore leisure suits with bell-bottom pants, and my hair was kind of long in high school, at least not down to my shoulders like some, but it was just the style of the day, and I wasn't trying to be rebellious. It just that was you trying to fit in, and so. But here Walden, Henry David Thoreau is saying something very similar to what G.K. Chesterton is saying. The study of the classics are so important because they are. What G.K. Chesterton says is the democracy of the dead. We want those who have lived before us to have a say-so in what we are thinking about and contemplating in one way or another, okay? So that is a precious sentiment. Let me move over here. I got to go back and forth from my little do-do-do-do-do. There we go. Anyways, let me make the important theological point. I'm singing the praises of the lovers of nature, whether it's represented in Thoreau or John Denver or even Pope Francis in his, what was it, encyclical Laudate Si. If we leave off, or if we think or give the impression that we have preached the full gospel, we do a big error. It's not accidental that John Denver got into environmentalism as his private life deteriorated. What I mean by that is one of my favorite songs of his is Calypso. Remember, I, Calypso, I sing. He wrote a song about the boat named Calypso that Jacques Cousteau, who had a famous TV show back in the 70s and 80s, where Jacques Cousteau was exploring the world's oceans and finding fascinating things under the water. And it was awfully fun. It captured. I have relatives, a nephew that is... totally into marine biology. Maybe you know people that are into marine biology, and marine biology is wonderful because the oceans are important, and there's a lot that we can learn. Like he says in that song, Calypso, we must learn from the seas so that we can live on the land. And yet, many of the people that are avid marine biologists will be avid anti-Catholics, if not actively anti, they certainly will neglect it, and they won't be looking beyond. And oftentimes, it is related to a sense of in their personal life, especially with a marriage situation, family situation, not seeing the key, the importance of going to church on Sunday is also a factor in abandoning the pursuit of truths higher than dolphins or turtles or bacteria in the water or plastic or what have you. John Denver, when his marriage fell apart, I'm going to have to say this for any of you who might be John Denver fans. I'm a little mad at Annie. Some people know Annie, and in the documentary on John Denver's life, there was an interview with Annie after she was divorced. She became a psychologist and became a counselor right there in Aspen, and some people came to her for her professional career as a psychologist. Annie, there's one episode where one scene in the documentary where a woman is talking to Annie, John Denver's ex-wife, and the woman says, "You know, I know you divorced your husband, John Denver, but his songs meant so much to me. I was ready to commit suicide, and then I heard Annie's song. You fill up my senses like a night in the forest, like a walk in the rain, and it filled her with enough hope in life to not take her life." And all that Annie can do at that point was smile and say, "Yes, he meant a lot to a lot of people." And I'm a little mad because one of his other songs about leaving on a jet plane, I'm sure is autobiographical, because he's saying, "Kiss me. I don't know when I'll be back again, but smile for me. When I come back, I'll bring your wedding ring." In other words, his career was taking him away from Annie. And another song goes, "Follow me where I go, what I do and what I know. Make it part of you to be a part of me." She could have saved her marriage quite easily by just going on the road with him. She was too much in love with the beautiful house in Aspen. And all of us know that traveling around the world and living out of a suitcase can be a drag. And so she figured, "I'm staying, you go." And if she would have gone with him, she didn't realize the ephemeral nature of his success. You know, if she would have realized, yeah, he's on the top of the charts now and he's being welcomed and praised all throughout the world at different concert halls, if she would have realized it could only be maybe a few years. So this my temporary going with him, even though it might be hard to go with him, would be enough of a sacrifice to have saved their marriage. Anyways, he goes into a lot of depression, and that lack of the sweetheart in his life, the broken marriage, as it can for so many people, it can drive you into real depression. You have to recover a sense of love. That's, of course, where God would definitely can come in, fill in the blank, as it were. But he didn't reach out for God so much as more popularity. And what was becoming popular was the environmental movement. And so he starts an organization, especially for saving the environment, doing more to protect wilderness lands and all the rest. He would have been very happy if he was alive when they got rid of plastic straws and started using paper straws. Though I was just seeing a little episode, somebody sent me an email that the paper straws are worse for the environment than even the plastic straws. Plastic you could recycle quite easily, and you can paper as well. But there's a little plug for recycling. I'm to say that John Denver, Laudate Si by Pope Francis, to say that we need to appreciate nature is not to say that those who promote recycling are wrong. Maybe it doesn't give the benefits that we think it does, but nonetheless, it's worthy of some effort. But again, you can't neglect the higher goals. John Denver's, he went in and out of two other marriages, and he didn't, all of his songs, most of his songs, except for something like Calypso, lacked the beauty and the innocence, the brushing with the Holy Spirit.
Wow. God, you just wrinkled my brain, man.
Yeah. And so you can't replace the godliness of human love with love for the environment. That's why a lot of environmentalists are so wrong in maintaining a pro-choice attitude, as it were. Anyways, I think we got to get in one more break here, right, Nick? I think then I gotta spell out an important doctrine. All of this comes down to appreciating what the doctrine of original sin in our Catholic catechism teaches, so that we could see that Catholicism has the best understanding of original sin, and some of the misinterpretations of original sin are plethora, as it were. Anyways, let's take our final break here, okay? I'm Father Tom Coyes, guest host on The Winds of Change. We are the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI 88.5 FM and WNDZ AM 750.
It is amazing to be living in a post-Roe v. Wade America, but our country racked up a body count of tens of millions under Roe. And still today, the body count continues to rise, and the vast majority of these babies never received a proper burial. That's what the 11th annual National Day of Remembrance for Aborted Children is all about. On Saturday, September 9th, on this special day, the Pro-Life Action League visits the burial places of aborted children and other memorials put up in their honor. And we solemnly pray for God to heal the deep wounds of abortion in our society. To find your nearest day of remembrance service, visit prolifeactionleague.org and click on the tile that says National Day of Remembrance for Aborted Children 2023. The National Day of Remembrance for Aborted Children, Saturday, September 9th.
I'm Father Tom Coyes, and you are listening to The Winds of Change.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule? Work? Or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the sacrament of reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. I hope you appreciate what I'm trying to do here in this hour, and help us realize that Catholicism embraces so much good that is found around the world, but takes us higher. And there's a deep resistance in so many people when they discover something great, something good, but there is placed in their mind, in their hearts, a certain disease, I call the ABC disease. The ABC disease is otherwise known as anything but Catholic. It's the anything but Catholic. But opening yourself to Catholicism is not to destroy goodness that you found, but to go higher, deeper, and add more truth, more goodness, as it were. And so maybe we're almost out of time here. So the original sin is our Catholic way of dealing with this problem that I have with Thoreau and Denver and even Pope Francis and his Laudate Si, that there it's a sentimental push to appreciate natural goods without pointing to the supernatural. That's what there's the major difference between St. Francis of Assisi and him referring to Brother Sun and Sister Moon, was that he recognized all the things of nature as creatures, which brings in the element of creator. And that's something that Thoreau doesn't really nail. He hints at it, but he doesn't teach it, that we have to appreciate the goodness of nature as given to us by God. And then our Catholic doctrine of original sin comes in and teaches us that as good as the world is around us, we can't let down our guard and realize there's bad and evil in the outside world around us and inside of us. We're not as smart as God, smart as even Thoreau thinks he's much smarter for living out in the wilderness, and I think he must have been. But the sentimentalism is mistaken for solid doctrine. Let me end with this. There's a beautiful little poem. He doesn't give it a name, but I'm going to call it An Ode to a Fireplace. Because he likes sitting around. If you lived by yourself in a little hut, you'd watch the fire a lot. And he's likening the stove, a new invention, as a way to warm your house, as kind of a modern invention that is not as beautiful, not as sentimental as a fire in a fireplace. It goes like this. Never bright flame may be denied to me. Thy dear life imaging, close sympathy. So he's saying, I don't want the beauty of a fireplace to be denied to me. Oh, anyways, that tells me we're out of time. I'll have to get back to that. It's an interesting, beautiful ode to a fireplace, the sentimentalism of the lessons that come from nature, as opposed to just what comes from our human fabrication. Good lesson we needed today, and God is the author of all that is good. I'm Father Tom Coyes. You've been listening to The Winds of Change, EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, 88.5 FM, WSFI, WNDZ, 750 AM. See you next time.
So sit on the fence, can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? Such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now.